speaker went to get a drink of water. Oh, he's back.
He moves fast.
Yeah,
he's fast.
You're like a stealth spider or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Cat-like. Yeah, right north of the cat-like.
Well, I would thank you for coming over. Lord bless you. Share with us what you've got.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Peter, his wife, and their people that helped work last night and helped see this place is cleaned up.
Absolutely.
Thank you for letting us be in a meeting in a place like this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, brother.
There's a lot of folks here. The Bible Forum that helped with all this. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Well, the time has come after all this. Bob told me what we were going to talk about, and you imagine it, you work on it, and we're going to start with a prayer. And is there an echo in here?
Yeah.
To hear.
journey.
This is going to be the journey to God's wisdom, God's knowledge, and God's understanding. Our God the Father places an extremely high value on the pursuit of His knowledge, and especially His spiritual knowledge. If you will, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 8 through 11. We're going to look at 9 and 10, okay? Proverbs 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Verse 9. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Verse 10. To receive my instruction, that's capital M, and not silver, and to receive my knowledge rather than choosing gold. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that will be desired, and are not even to be compared to. There's some good information. Verse 9 and 10, gaining my knowledge and instruction is greater than all the silver, gold, and material things in this world. The Bible tells us we need to grow in the knowledge of God. Once you have accepted the Lord into your life as your Savior, I want you to know something. That's only the beginning. That's just the beginning of your journey. From that point on, God's will for you is to grow in the knowledge of Him, His Son Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, and all of His ways. The number one way that you will grow in spiritual knowledge is by, listen to this, reading God's Word, studying God's Word, and sometimes one word at a time. And listen to God's Word. For those that cannot read or whatever. You can also grow in the knowledge of God through your own personal adventures that you're going to have with Him. Your personal daily walk with Him. Also, believe it or not, from other Christians who have been gifted to the point of being able to teach from His Word. And we had some very good speakers here this weekend. God is using some other, He's also using some very strong language in some of these verses, and you can really tell that God is trying to let all of us know the importance of growing in His knowledge. It's working better, Pete. Thank you. God's plan for us is that He wants to transform you and I, or change you and I, into the express image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to make us into a better and more holy people. However, before God will allow this separation process to really kick into full gear through the Holy Spirit, He wants you to fully understand exactly what He's doing and why He's doing it. Even our own kids. We'll pick up on this principle real quickly. When you tell the child that he or she is not to do something, what's the first thing they'll say to you?
Why?
They will ask you why. They can't do that particular thing. And then if your child is old enough to understand what that reason is, then you can proceed to tell them why it is not in their best interest to do that particular thing. In other words, you're giving your child the specific knowledge that he or she will need to have so they will know exactly why they should or should not be doing what specific thing that is. It's the exact same way with God our Father. God loves to share His knowledge with His children across the board on anything that we might need. His knowledge for in this life
anything that we need in this life. But what really prevents many of God's children from being able to receive this knowledge directly from Him is that they have never been taught how to listen and how to hear from Him. But He does start to try and communicate with them. Or they do not press on and enter into a, listen to me, search, seek, and desire mode with Him to try and get Him to release the knowledge to them. Okay, if there is one secret or part of this journey that I personally have learned, notice the red line, you have to be willing to go into some sort of search, seek, desire mode with Him. Okay? You see, God will not, and is not going to spoon feed you forever. However, before you can really get God to start to release His knowledge to you, there is something that you must really have, and that is desire. In Psalms, it tells us that we must have desire for truth in your inward parts. To desire something means that we must have some level of passion in our seeking of this knowledge that God has. You have to show God that you really are serious with Him when you start to seek after the knowledge and wisdom that He'll give to you. You can really tell God is trying to drive home several major points that we need to fully grasp. I think Mike said to wrap around my mind, or he said something, oh, that's good. Ronnie did something this morning. That we need to fully grasp before He will be willing to release His knowledge to us. This is part of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find you. Knock, it shall be opened. That's you. And also in Luke 11, 9, it says, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Pretty basic. You are to ask, then you will find. It's receive. You are to seek, and you will find. You are to knock, and the door will be opened to you. Notice in all three of these conditions that I've mentioned, ask, seek, and knock, that you have to be the one to initiate. You have to be the one. Not your husband, not your wife, not your neighbor, not your Bible partner. You.
Amen.
Got it? A part of that now, don't you understand? If you go, if you do then, hey, I'm going to tell you what, this mystery thing is something that you, it's just not laying out there, just you're going to just fall into it and you're going to, hey, this fits, this is good. You're going to have, I'm talking about going through just the Baker studies, I'm talking about Welch, I'm talking about anything that, I'm talking anything that you can get your hands on that's rightly divided to this, on our people that have been involved with. You do then, this is how God will answer you. How He will open doors to you. And how He will let you find the answers to your questions and concerns. On this journey that I'm talking about, you can sum up on how to get God to release His knowledge directly to ask you three simple words. You desiring, asking, and seeking. Also in the book of Psalms, David tells us that we need to meditate on the Word of God. To meditate doesn't mean to blank your mind out waiting for God to talk to you. To meditate literally means to prayerfully think on it, think about it, to chew on it. We need to pray about it. When I personally found out that What I have personally found out is that the Holy Spirit will literally guide your thoughts into the revealing that you are to search and seek after, or when you are trying to figure something out. One of the things that happens to me, and it's my turn to talk, so I'll have to come down to, is that I when I'm working on a lesson and I'm preparing for a study group, all of a sudden something has happened to me that I can become completely confused. And I have learned it's time to close the book, come back tomorrow or later, and I say, there it is. I see what I was doing wrong. But in other words, you will find the knowledge you need as you are searching and seeking after it. The Holy Spirit can either guide your thoughts into what the correct answers are by you, just using some of your brain power to try and figure things out. Or He will guide you as to where these answers are located. While you're on this journey, I believe that you can literally learn how to pull knowledge directly from the Lord by going into the search, seek, and desire modes with Him. As you're going to see in some of the scripture verses that I'm going to share with you, it is the assignment of the Holy Spirit to teach believers all things in this life. In other words, the Holy Spirit is your personal guide and teacher in this life. The Holy Spirit can and will communicate to you if you are open to receiving this kind of direct communication from Him. My goal for you today is to just show you some of the main foundational verses from the Bible to let you know that God does want to share with you His knowledge across the board on anything you may need His knowledge on for this in this life. A lot of Christians literally are missing out on this part of their walk with the Lord. God will communicate His knowledge to you, but you first need to realize that God really does want to communicate His knowledge to you. And then you will need to learn how to pick it up and properly read it when He does start to try and communicate to you. You have to remember that we're dealing with a being that has a perfect knowledge on everything. And He is willing to communicate and share His knowledge with us through the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Colossians 1. Got a little crowded here. I forgot this one when I was doing this. But Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Verse 26. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to these saints. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So verse 26, even the mystery He's willing to share with you. Verse 26, again, telling you that, and Christ is literally in you. Okay, turn while you're there to the third chapter of Colossians, verse 16. 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ, what does it say? Dwell in you richly. The Greek form translated dwell in means to live in, or to make its home in, or to inhabit. Paul is commanding the Colossians to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, or to dwell in you abundantly. Of course, Paul is talking about the Word of Christ being given access to living believers and to make its home in their minds. Turn also, if you will, to the last one on this page, Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. I want to look at verse 17. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. Verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. This, the concept of Christ dwelling in believers, this goes back to the time when Christ promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would be in them. And then Christ proceeds to tell them that he would come and make his abode or his residence in them. I think about this. Think about this. You already have the knowledge of God residing on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you already have the knowledge of God residing on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's already there. How do we get the key to it? Turn to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is access, but it says here, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. See, Paul is emphasizing the need for believers to be filled with the Spirit. Since the result of being filled with the Spirit is the same as the result of the Word of Christ dwelling in richly, I think that we could come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is the one who richly activates the mind with God's Word. Well, listen, the Word of God plus the Spirit of God complement one another. One without the other is incomplete. Okay? Let's take a look at some of these scriptures so that you can fully put your mind and thoughts on what the Lord is trying to tell us. These are very special verses. I see some of these verses as special ear. The rest of people can't hear. Door. And mind openers. And every Christian, as they are showing you that God can, in his own way, make known and share his knowledge with you through the Holy Spirit. If you are open to receiving it, and if you're willing to go into a search, seek, and desire mode to pull it from him, these verses mean exactly what they're saying. If you will turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. It tells us we are to grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we are to grow in the grace. We are to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This verse is just one short sentence long, but there's a lot of being said here. After we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the next thing God wants, or you could say the next thing God expects of you and I, is to start growing in his knowledge that he wants to show us. And the only way we can spiritually grow or be Christ-like is by setting out on our own journey of searching, seeking, and desiring after the knowledge that will cause the growth to occur in the first place. This is why many Christians are making very little spiritual growth over the course of their lives. After they were initially saved, all because they're not seeking, searching, and desiring after the knowledge of God. That will cause the spiritual growth to occur in the first place. You cannot become more Christ-like unless you are spiritually growing. As you'll notice in some of the scripture verses that we're going to cover, God will encourage you to seek after, search after this thing called knowledge. It's a lot like treasure hunters. We see them on TV every once in a while. Just found a boat off the some coast full of gold. They spend that same effort studying God's word for the future that they want to be. If you talk to any true, desiring knowledge seeker, they will tell you that most of their joy comes from the journey of trying to find the knowledge that they're seeking after. Nothing will stimulate your mind and emotions and make you feel more alive than desiring, seeking, and searching after God's knowledge on something you may be really interested in. Number 10. We need to be very passionate about the seeking of His knowledge. Passionate. For those that play golf, or those that sports, or whatever you do, you're passionate. See, this journey has no limit to the amount of knowledge that God can give or release to you. If you're willing to dive into this treasure chest and start seeking after it, because this treasure chest has no bottom to it. Every single believing Christian has this incredible treasure chest of knowledge and wisdom literally residing in the inside of them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is only too anxious and just waiting for you to tap into them to get this knowledge to start to be released to you. Now that we know that God wants us to grow in the knowledge that He wants to give to us, these next two verses will tell us the first step that needs to be met before God will even begin to release His knowledge to us. So where do we begin? These two verses are specifically telling us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of being able to receive knowledge and wisdom from the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The second one, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What you notice in both of these verses, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of being able to receive knowledge and wisdom from God. In other words, if you do not have a, I'm going to use this word, healthy fear of the Lord, then chances are God is not going to be working with you very closely and releasing His knowledge to you. What exactly is, Roger, just exactly what do you mean by this? You must have a healthy fear of Him. What I'm saying to you, we are to have an extremely reverent respect for our God. Okay? And our God and Father. Number two, we need to give respect where respect is due. Number three, respect all of God's ways. speaking louder than our words. I'm talking to Roger, too, so I have my moments. But the problems come when our actions may be speaking louder than our words to him. If you have a good, healthy fear of the Lord, then you will make every effort to try and live your life according to his will. We're all sinners, and none of us are perfect. What's that little thing says in Ephesians 1:4? According as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Listen to me. God knew what he was getting when he chose you and I. He knew what he was getting. God also knew what he was going to be dealing with each one of us. We weren't going to be perfect. I really believe that there is some certain amount of slack with the Lord on some of our imperfections and some of our stinking thinking. Some of the unusual things that we do in this life. This is why these two verses in Proverbs are so important for those who would really like to search, seek, and desire after the knowledge of God for their lives. God is more than willing to open up his storehouse of knowledge for you in this life, but only if you're willing to do your part. And your first step will be to make sure that you have a good, healthy respect of him all of his ways. In several of the scripture verses, you will see there are three key words that are constantly being repeated over and over again. These three key words are knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. First, God will start off by conveying his knowledge to you about something specifically. However, knowledge by itself will not get the job done. The second word is understanding. Understanding means that you understand the knowledge that is being given to you. If you don't understand the knowledge that has been given to you, then you will not be able to use it or to apply it in real life situations. And the third key word is wisdom. Once you understand the knowledge that has been given to you, then there is now one more step you will need to have in order to be able to properly use that knowledge, and that is the step is having the actual wisdom to be able to use that knowledge in a real life situation. Example. A lot of students understand the knowledge they have learned through many of their courses in trade school, colleges, etc., but they lack the wisdom to be able to apply that knowledge in the real world. We've all heard, this group, we've all heard the term that some may be book smart, but they still lack the common sense and wisdom to be able to use this knowledge in the real working world. This is where the Holy Spirit will be coming in big time. The Holy Spirit will help you in being able to understand the knowledge that God will be giving to you on something. Example, the Mysterion message. The Holy Spirit will help illuminate your mind so you can fully understand what's being given to you. The Holy Spirit will also help you with the last and final step, which is being able to have a wisdom to use or apply that knowledge to a real-life working situation. It's just a matter of you being willing to seek after whatever it is God wants you to seek after. Knowledge and understanding and wisdom direct from God on a wide variety of matters and issues in your life, and it is available to all his children if they would only be willing to spend the time to seek after it. These next verses are the heart and soul of this entire subject matter. All of these verses are telling us that all knowledge and all wisdom come direct from God and Jesus Christ. The first verse will tell us that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in God the Father and Jesus Christ. The first verse is part of the theme for this weekend. Colossians 2:2. It talks both the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice in this verse that God is comparing knowledge and wisdom with this thing called treasures, and that this treasure is hidden within Himself. This means that God and Jesus are the source of all godly knowledge, and that we must first have to seek and search after the source of it in order to get this knowledge to be released to you and I. Here are some more verses and scriptures showing us that not only is God the source of all godly knowledge and wisdom, but that He actually wants to release this knowledge to us. The first one is Ephesians 1:17-19. I'm going to read it to you. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. All of these verses are telling us that all things, including all knowledge and all wisdom, come direct from God, the Father. And He actually wants to release this knowledge direct to you. He wants to show and reveal great and mighty things to you. He wants to tell us deep and secret things that the average person will not have access to. And not only will God give you His knowledge, but He will also make you sure to give you the understanding of that knowledge and the wisdom to be able to actually use it. All of this can be given to you free of charge. All you have to do is be willing to search, seek after it, and then search and seek to fully understand and how it can apply to the different areas of your life. The next one is John 8:31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you continue in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, if you are just willing to continue or to abide in the Bible, God's word, and also if you're just willing to search and seek so that you can understand what you're reading, then you will be fully loaded with an incredible amount of knowledge and truth. However, notice that Jesus says that we need, this is not the good part, we need to continue or abide in His word in order to be able to get these truths worked into us. Abiding literally means that you are willing to spend some kind of good, regular, quality time in reading, studying the Bible for yourself, seeking out, trying to understand, putting into practice these truths in your everyday walk with Him. The Holy Spirit will, as a result, become your personal guide and teacher in this life. It will be His life, His job, to teach and pass on this knowledge direct to you once you start to seek after it. Now, the next two verses, 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, it says, even the deep things of God.
Amen.
No one knows all the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to release the knowledge of God direct to us. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall, what does it say, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And this verse backs up the other second, First Corinthians, when it says that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, then he will teach us all things. I want you to notice in that verse the word all, that he will teach us all things. Think about what is being said in this. Think about what's being said here. This statement being made by God and that the Holy Spirit can teach us all things is a very important statement. Being made by God. God is telling us that he is willing to go more than overboard in order to teach us things and to pass his knowledge to us. And this is the important part for me. Then it finishes out verse 26 and goes one step further and says that the Holy Spirit can literally bring all things to your remembrance. Oh, how many times yet? Oh, I can't remember what this or that. When you may need it, the knowledge that he was already given to you. So you people with short-term or dementia or Alzheimer's, there's still hope. So now we know that God is more than willing to release his knowledge directly to you through the Holy Spirit. All of these phrases are showing that you must have some level of intensity in your seeking of this knowledge. You need to show God that you mean serious business about this Bible study. In a serious business with him, that you start to seek after the knowledge and wisdom that he can give to you. One verse in particular says it best when it says, you must seek after the knowledge of God like someone is searching for buried treasure. I have a neighbor who just tore a set of buildings down, and supposedly, 60, 70 years ago, a guy buried a can of money out here. And all the neighbors, even when the farmer wasn't home, maybe you could see people up the lane or around the barn, and they were trying to dig up what they thought. But he tore the whole thing up. You know, people will go for buried treasure. You can really tell God is trying to drive home several major points that we need to fully grasp before he will be willing to release his knowledge to us. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without blame, and it will be given to him. I want you to notice in James 1:5 that it says that if any of us lacking wisdom, that we are to ask for God for his wisdom. The next sentence in James 1:5 makes a most powerful statement when he says that God will then give his wisdom to all liberally without blame. In other words, God's not going to be playing favorites with anyone on this issue. Notice that God is also using the word liberally after the word all. This means that God is more than anxious to release his knowledge to all of us, not just to some of us. Colossians 1:9 says to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and knowledge, a spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In this verse, he tells us that we are to ask to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The word filled with His knowledge is also showing us that God wants to pour out His knowledge and wisdom to us in great abundance. One of the ways that God can communicate, believe it or not, I've caught this so often, His knowledge to us is through other people. Sometimes you receive the knowledge that you're looking for direct from God Himself. Other times it will come from a particular scripture verse you may be meditating on. But at other times, God will communicate His knowledge to you through other people. What you will find starting to happen to you is that words are going to just literally jump out at you. When this happens, this is the Holy Spirit quickening these words to you in order to give you His knowledge and wisdom and something that you may be dealing with or searching after. Once you start to enter into this kind of journey with the Lord, you really have to keep your radar detectors up each and every day as you never knew. You never know when, where, or how, through whom God will offer His knowledge to you. This is why the knowledge game, is also more fun to play with the Lord. God loves bragging, He'll give you His knowledge and wisdom in many ways and through many different sources. But always remember this, the Bible will always be your main source of spiritual knowledge and wisdom in His life. There are a couple of downsides to having God start to release His knowledge to you. The first downside is that some of the increase in your knowledge base may cause some to start to get to be full of themselves. In 1 Corinthians 8, and the second part of it, I remember so often hearing Oscar Baker on his stage using the word puffing up. It says, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies.
Amen.
In this verse, it says that knowledge can puff you up. You have to learn to stay humble and thankful for it. It becomes very easy to start looking down on others who are not getting this level of knowledge. You could even possibly start questioning their spiritual growth. And why are they not getting what you're getting? You have to realize that everyone is operating at different levels of spiritual development in this life of the Lord. Some will go farther and progress at faster rates and speed in this area than others will. And you can't compare your level of spiritual development and how fast you're progressing with anyone else. Some people will not go as far as you might go in this area, but others may leave you in the dust and progress to a much higher level than you ever will in this life. You have to realize that God is working with each and every Christian at the level of their spiritual development that they are currently operating with Him. Granted, some people look like they should be making more and better progress, but there may be some personal factors operating in their lives that may be slowing down their spiritual growth that you may not be aware of. This is why God is telling us in His Word that we are not to judge one another in some of these areas. Your job is to be the best you can be, whatever God is calling you to do in this life.
Amen.
We're to seek to produce as much good fruit for God as we can. But at the same time, do not ever compare your walk and your fruit of the Lord with anyone else's. Really try hard to stay humble in your walk with the Lord. And don't let all the fruit and accomplishments that you might achieve in him, go to your head and puff you up. In other words, seeking after the knowledge of God has to be a major priority in a believer's life. We can't spiritually grow and develop in the Lord unless we first have his knowledge worked into us that will cause the spiritual growth to occur in the first place. And you can't get this knowledge worked into you unless you are at least first seeking, searching, desiring after. Seek, search, and desire, and you will find. But the reverse is also true. If you don't seek, search, and desire, then you won't find it. At last, but not, certainly not least, you'll start to pick up knowledge and direct from the Holy Spirit himself. You will start getting inner awareness or inner knowings. Now, I want you to hear, there is no such word as knowings. I talked to Joe Watkins a couple of weeks ago. I said, Joe, I said, we were talking about some things. And he said, well, once in a while, he said, you know, I had to make up some. He said, about five or six times, he said, I had to make up some words. But he said, inner knowings, I talked to him about it. He said, go ahead and use it. He said, inner knowings. The Holy Spirit can also give you inner visions, draw a picture in your mind, or mental pictures in your mind's eye. And he's trying to communicate knowledge to you on something specific. Example, the Mysterion message. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Some say that the sky is the limit in this knowledge alone with God. I personally believe that there is no sky, and that there is no limit to the knowledge of God. Remember I said that the knowledge of God is like a treasure chest that has no bottom to it, and is all there is, and it is all there for the taking for those who are willing to dive into it, like there's those who desire, seek, search, and buried treasure. Now you can come. The only thing that is keeping you from being able to receive this unlimited and abundant source of knowledge from God is you're wearing the shoes for God, for God, yourself.
Amen.
I thank you for listening. As I would prayer to finish, Father, help each one of us to have a healthy fear of you in our lives. We're asking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding when it comes to the church, which is your body, which help us to seek out your hidden treasures and to apply them to our lives to recognize these inner knowings. In your name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.